In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the reading from Acts, which you just heard, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. What a dramatic one-day event Pentecost must have been. A multitude of Jews from all nations milling around Jerusalem. Activity in that upper room, the sound of the rushing mighty wind, the tongues as of fire, speaking the word in such a way that everyone could hear in his own language. Then that powerful law and gospel sermon by Peter, many people cut to the heart, the Holy Spirit working faith as 3,000 believed and were baptized. What a tremendous event. A Billy Graham crusade, hundreds or thousands coming forward to register decisions for Christ. A Lutheran mission congregation with founding pastor dedicating their first sanctuary to the glory of God. New seminary students participating in the opening academic service, picturing with joy the preparation for the holy ministry. 200 vicars and candidates receiving their assignments and calls, ready to take Lutheran confessional theology out to the parishes of our church where it's so desperately needed. But what then? What follows? Our text directly follows the account of that first Pentecost, and with the picture of the early church, describes for us continuing Pentecost. That's our theme. Continuing Pentecost by building on the Word, by demonstrating love in action, and by reaching out to the unsaved. The text starts out, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." And the Greek word for devoted means to continue in or persist. Yes, the backbone of the early church post-Pentecost was a constant building on, dwelling on the Word and the visible Word in the breaking of bread. In homes, in the temple, listening to the apostles, understanding the Old Testament scriptures in an ever new light. Not all did that, however. The New Testament is full of examples of neglecting the Word or distorting the Word. But continuing Pentecost centered in building on that Word. How do we measure up at the seminary and in the parishes of our church on this score? How well do we build on the Word? Well, of course we do. That's why we're wrestling through Greek this summer, to be able to study the New Testament in the original language. And the teaching of the apostles, as reflected in our Lutheran confessional theology, penetrates every course we take on the campus. Hopefully, at least. But do we build on the Word for our own lives? Or do we sometimes become more academic about it? Because we cannot apply it to ourselves, we cannot easily share it with others. On the parish level, do building programs and organizational details and smoothing over relationship problems sometimes stand in the way of that foundation in the Word and the sacraments? I think the words of the Pentecost story might apply to us. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter talked about him whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, whom God now has made Lord and Christ. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That good God, in His strong Son, Jesus Christ, obedient to the Word, is the one who forgives our sins of neglecting the Word. Continuing Pentecost involves building on the Word, but secondly, also demonstrating love in action. What an unusual and powerful community we read about. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together. Early form of communism, being willing to put all those treasures in the common chest so that everyone's needs were taken care of, that's demonstrating love in action, because where the treasure is, there your heart will be also. Living with each other day in, day out in worship and common life, love shown, that's one of the ways that Pentecost continues. But of course they didn't always. There was Ananias and Sapphira who lied and deceived against the Holy Ghost by not leveling in terms of their stewardship practices. And the whole epistle to the Corinthians bears witness to the lack of love. And yet, by the Spirit's power, something was happening in that early Christian fellowship that they demonstrated love in action. How do we score on that regard here at the seminary and in the parishes of our church? We believe in love. We accept God's love in Christ. But we don't always show it, do we? Sometimes we become so preoccupied with ourselves and our goals, our studies or whatever, that we don't notice the brother who is hurting and needs our love and concern. Sometimes we don't really understand each other as faculty and staff and students in such a way that we can really reach out with that love. And I suppose that sometimes, like Ananias and Sapphira, we might be even guilty against lying against the Holy Spirit by not leveling in our relationships with one another. And in the parish, programs sometimes preempt people, and even sound doctrine preached is sometimes undercut by loveless attitudes practiced when we don't act like the shepherd and our people can't get along. I guess the words of the Pentecost text come through again. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter talks about him whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead and has now made Lord in Christ. About a good God and about a powerful Savior who loved the loveless and who paid for the sins so that we are forgiven and can reach out with love to those around us. Continuing Pentecost, by building on the Word and by demonstrating love in action, finally by reaching out to the unsaved. The effect of this early community on others is notable. We see, first of all, where it says, "Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." And then, having favor with all the people, and the clincher, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Sinners and saints, neglecting the Word, sometimes loveless, still the Spirit worked in their lives so that others looked and saw the demonstration of God in Christ in their lives and heard the powerful Word of law and gospel. And the result was that there was reverence and there was favor. Notice that word, favor. And daily there were added to their number those who were being saved. What a dynamic example of God at work in His church. And how do we square on that score? It's so beautiful here. I love to be here. And I like the atmosphere. I love to be stimulated in my mind. I love to dialogue. But sometimes, I don't always think about reaching out to the unsaved. I'm thankful for the mission emphasis, cross-cultural ministry, and yet I wonder if sometimes we don't lose the forest for the trees, not take advantage of those field work and parish opportunities for witness, and lose sight of a world without Christ. In the parish, survival and maintenance concerns can so often stand in the way of reaching out to people with the saving message of Christ. And so the Pentecost message hits us again. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter talks about Him whom you crucified, whom God raised from the grave and is now made Lord in Christ, about a good God and a powerful Savior who came for the lost, who died specifically for our sins of neglecting the lost, and who gives us a zeal and a fire for sharing our faith whenever that opportunity presents itself. Yes, building on the Word, demonstrating love in action, and reaching out to the unsaved is evidence of the Spirit's power through the Word for continuing Pentecost in our fellowship. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.